more. Baby, it's not nice. Our chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it, come in no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Grass make the heaven the middle. We are grass make the
secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. This is George Butler. We've got quite a full program this evening, and we're going to start off with a Greg Reese excerpt about the 5G. But also we're going to have some click off with Dr. Group, what he said about 5G, and other people that have professed a great interest in the problems that 5G is going to bring us. Then we're going to move to Tom Rentz and Alex, and they had a really good discussion on the Department of Defense Pentagon injuries that have been occurring because of the vaccine. And Rentz is saying, hey, they're doing some cooking of the books. But anyway, here's Greg Reese, and then we'll go to that Rentz interview.
The Fifth Column recently published their findings and conclusions on the strange self-assembling nanotech they discovered in the Pfizer mRNA vaccines via optical microscopy analysis. The objects they found in the vaccine correspond with known items in the scientific record, and the conclusion they come to seems quite clear, that the well-documented scientific goal to use nanotechnology in living human beings to form networks capable of controlling several nanomachines is currently being deployed in the COVID-19 vaccines, which amounts to the most intrusive assault against humanity in all of recorded history. While the media and government lie and cover for Big Pharma, the official ingredients are still unknown. But we have thousands of brilliant scientists worldwide studying these experimental vaccines. Some have died in highly suspicious ways, but most have been able to share their findings. And the work shows us that graphene oxide is a key component in all of this. There have been dozens of official documented studies on the use of graphene oxide related to how we see it being used here today. Among other things, as a power converter. Graphene, a one-atom-thick layer of hexagonally arranged carbon atoms, is the thinnest and strongest material known to man, and an outstanding conductor of heat and electricity. It can boost gigahertz frequencies into terahertz, which is exactly what these new nanotech machines need for power. In order to do this, the graphene first needs a frequency to power it, and the optimal frequency to externally power graphene is known to be 26 gigahertz, which is also the frequency put out by 5G. In this model, the graphene within the body is activated by microwave signals in the gigahertz range, which it then boosts into the terahertz range, which then powers the novel nanotech machinery to self-assemble within the human body. Once assembled, what do these nanotech machines do? The images, compared to the scientific literature, suggest that they are the foundation of an internal electronic system with an endless potential for biomanipulation of the human host. Nanorouters that emit MAC addresses, able to be registered via Bluetooth. Nano and plasma antennas to amplify signals. Nano rectennas acting as rectifier bridges from AC to DC current. Codecs and logic gates for encryption of communication. The raw material for all this self-assembly is also graphene oxide. And when we compare known side effects of graphene oxide to the side effects of the COVID-19 vaccines, we find them to be the same. Once graphene oxide is injected into the body, it acquires magnetic properties, predictably around the injection site, the heart, and the brain. Graphene is seen as a pathogen by our immune system, and will often result in paralysis and stroke. Graphene is known to cause blood clots and heart conditions. Graphene oxide can generate small discharges, causing cardiac arrhythmia. There is so much going on with these experimental vaccines, and the evidence seems clear that there is a mass experiment going on, with certain batches marked more deadly than others, and with certain batches that contain a bold new technology akin to a man-made parasite intended to control the host human if it doesn't kill them first in the process. Perhaps that is what the mad scientists and psychopaths are after. Human genetics that can withstand this new invasive and deadly nanotech. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Next is the interview of Tom Ritz is stating, hey, they're cooking the books over there and he's going to go after them. And there was a great deal of injuries caused by the vaccine. And he's going to uncover what they've done is trying to revive the books. And they're making big, big mistakes. Here we go with Tom Renz.
Tom Renz joins us, and I appreciate him coming on short notice. I saw that he was on American Journal with Harrison Smith this morning, and he was the first person a long time ago in this last 2 years, he can give you the actual dates, to come out and point out Project Solace, not Solace or Salas, Solace or however you say it, the big Pentagon AI program that is gathering all the data and is even better than VAERS and shows massive upticks in heart attacks, cancers, heart swelling, you name it. And we see similar numbers out of Europe, out of Australia, out of New Zealand, out of the UK, out of Canada, 300% increases in heart attacks and 1,000% increases in neurological disorders and, you know, so much more. And some numbers vary. Some are worse. Those are conservative numbers I just put out. So he just spoke at the U.S. Senator's big event where they were laying all of this out. We played some of the clips a few days ago, but there have been some new developments there. So I appreciate him coming on to lay this out for us. Tom, thank you so much. Please give us the 35,000-foot view on Project Solace study, 5.6 million vaccinated Medicare beneficiaries, warning mRNA vaccine effectiveness raises questions. Mapped Medicare data helps U.S. military deliver pandemic support. I mean, these are mainstream news articles about this real Pentagon program. And now I'm told, because I saw you talking about it, that they're doing some damage control and trying to fudge the numbers. So tell us what's happening.
Right. So we've got multiple things happening here, Alex, and it's really easy to get it mixed up. So I'm going to try and hit you from a few different directions. So Project Salus is the program that they're using in conjunction with the CDC and that crew to monitor the data, danger and injury from all the vaccines. Now, what we just got and what we were talking about, we brought that up and we talked about that, and that showed 71% of new cases are in fully vaxxed and 60% of new hospitalizations are in fully vaxxed. So, yeah, that came out about the time that Anthony Fauci was running around telling us all that the crisis of the unvaxxed. The unvaxxed are, filling up our hospitals. Well, now we get another set of whistleblowers from the military, and they're using a database called DMED, and that's the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database. So this is the premier database in the world for analyzing what's going on with health trends and epidemiology, and it focuses on our soldiers. So all the data that's in there comes through a system called DMSS, which is a Defense Medical Surveillance System. And that's the medical records, it's electronic medical records for all our soldiers. And DMED is there, and we pay millions of dollars per year for a whole bunch of people to sit and watch DMED and to watch for injuries and to watch for trends and to make sure that it's good, strong, solid data and that it's real good. So we had some whistleblowers from the military that had the courage. And here it is. I'm so glad we got these graphs to you. This graph that you guys got on the screen right now is from DMED. And what you'll see is the years there are 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, and then 2021. And what those numbers are is it's a total count of ICD codes for each year, ICD codes being injuries or, you know, things that are put into the computer, things that are issues with soldiers, right? So on a normal year, you have roughly 2 million per year with our soldiers. In 2021, and I want to point out, you see the downtick in 2020, not an uptick. The COVID year, 2020, there's a downtick, right? Probably because everybody's locked in their house. 2021, you see a jump by a factor of 1,000% over average, right? So what happened? What's different? Well, that's the year the vaccines were given.
And by the way, Tom, you got all the science, the same numbers in Europe, everywhere, showing what these Pentagon numbers are showing. But what's incredible is I anecdotally had a bunch of family die. I knew a bunch of people that took the shot that died. My dad almost got killed. Dr. Malone explains that this created mutations that actually did it. But the point is, all over the world, when they start the injections, the illnesses and deaths explode.
Absolutely. And this shows that our Defense Department knew it, Fauci and crew knew it, and they continue pushing this. They continue shoving it out there and continue trying to force our soldiers to be injured and or killed. This is sick. This is sick on a level that's mind-blowing. So we have all this stuff. It's all going to be on Rems-Law as soon as I can get it up there. We're going to be submitting it to the courts under penalty of perjury. So our whistleblowers are standing behind this data. And Alex, this is the incredible part, right? So this, oh, by the way, this is neurological issues. You see the neurological diseases? So 80,000, 80,000, 80,000. Then in 2021, we jump up to 863,000, right? It's over 1,000% of average or 963% over average. It is mind-blowing how high this is jumping. This is unbelievable, these numbers. And there's nothing different but the vaccine. That's it. And it's just like we've seen everywhere in the world. So these guys were covering this up and they were hiding it. Well, guess what happened, Alex? We go and we make this public and it's blowing up all over the internet. So, you know, the fact checkers have to come up with something because, you know, they're bought and paid for by Big Pharma. So they've got to come up with some sort of an excuse somewhere. So they go to the DOD, who I've got three different whistleblowers telling me in the last few days how panicked the DOD is over this because the truth is coming out. And it shows that they're aware that they're killing our soldiers. The DOD comes out and says, well, we made a mistake for the last 5 years. Now, let me explain that to you. Now, they could have said, well, we made a mistake in 2021, but that wouldn't have worked well because they want to keep forcing our soldiers to get this. And so they know that the new baseline for injuries is going to be way high. So now what's going to happen is they had to go back, and they're saying that the premier military database, you know, watching our soldiers' health, was wrong. We pay millions of dollars a year for this database. It was wrong for 5 years, and they didn't notice until I blew the whistle with a sitting senator. Then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, we found a mistake. By the way, that mistake was magically remedied at the end of 2020, even though they didn't know there was a mistake, and fixed in 2021. We're supposed to believe that these guys didn't notice this mistake, even though we have teams of people whose job it is to watch us. We're supposed to believe they didn't notice it until I blew the whistle. But even though they hadn't noticed it, somehow it magically got fixed.
Well, we've also seen that graph that we'll have next segment where it shows 100 countries in the world off John Hopkins UN numbers that right when the first shot is given, illnesses explode. And then right when the second shot, it goes up even more, and then triple shots. And then Israel, most vaccinated, highest rates of hospitalization, death. And it just goes down the line. The more injections, the more death, and they call it COVID. And then they lie and say, oh, 90%+ of people in the hospital are unvaccinated. And you look the numbers up, it's not even true. It's incredible.
This demonstrates it all. This is the best information out there. The best. There is no question what's happening. And, you know, the next step is along with submitting this in the courts and everywhere else, we're going to be sending this information to the leaders of the House and the Senate, and we're going to be asking them, hey, are you guys going to hold these people accountable? Are you going to do something with this? Are you going to stand with the soldiers and the American people, or are you going to continue to be bought out by special interest, big pharma, and the billionaire crowd? Now, we've got all sorts of information, and I plan on asking our House and Senate leadership, hey, how much stock do you have in big pharma? How much do you own? By the way, how many, your mutual funds, BlackRock, all these guys, how much do they own? Because, you know, having a straw man own it for you doesn't make it any better. So I want to know how much money these guys are making off of it. Now, I'm telling you, I'm going to ask. It's coming. I'm going to be asking this. So my advice to you elected officials, sell your stock and get on board here, because it's time for you guys to come clean.
Absolutely. This house of cards is coming down. I don't just say that to be positive and hope it. It really is. I wonder what the hell they're thinking. Even Melinda Gates is running away right now. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You can see the statistics. And then you can watch people around you die if they take a shot. Got a U.S. senator, Democrat, got the article right here, took the shot, had a massive stroke, fighting for his life. And here's some of the numbers from John Hopkins and UN numbers all over the world. This is already 8 months old. Everywhere, after you take the shot and then they have the boosters, it just explodes. Hospitalizations, deaths, you name it. Tom Renz is one of the most important lawyers out there fighting this tyranny and just doing a great job breaking this down to members of the Senate and the House at these important committee meetings. And we just cannot thank him enough for what he's doing. And he's not BSing you. He's going out the facts that the House of Cards is coming down very, very quickly. Well, 2 weeks ago, we had the head of the UN vaccine program say, don't give it to children. And it can cause heart attacks. So they're all trying to cover their ass right now, aren't they? Quietly coming out, okay, we're going to put on the insert that was blank before, it can kill you. Hey, don't give it to kids. But then the big companies and the corporate media that's bought off, they just keep pushing, saying, it's wonderful. There's no side effects. It works perfectly. It totally protects you, destroying all of their credibility. How are they going to extricate themselves from this? And what do you predict coming next?
Well, I got to tell you, Alex, so I don't think there's a good, I don't think they have an exit plan. That's part of the reason there's so much panic. They were hoping this would quietly go away. But now with this, I mean, we're going after justice, right? Right. I'm a justice guy. You know, let me tell you what they're doing. So you saw right before the break, your guys showed a couple of those graphs, and you saw things that looked like the same, you know, same graph, but the numbers were different. Well, that's because once we went public with this and they said that, oh, we just made that mistake, they went in and started doctoring the database and changing all the numbers. And they're trying to argue that for 5 years in this premier database, they were off by 1,000+% in some cases. 1,000! So, I mean, listen, this isn't like we made an oops. They're claiming that the premier database in the world that we spend millions of dollars on was off by 1,000+%. It's incredible, and it's just stupid.
They're trying to cover their tracks, but everybody knows. I've talked to so many veterans and current military that have been made to take it. It's wrecked their lives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, and listen, I mean, it's no wonder, right? For these guys, they're going to say, well, you know, it's better for us to show it as a glitch or being a little bit off. And, you know, maybe we wasted some money, but that's better than us going to jail for killing our soldiers. I mean, listen, Alex, if I point a gun at you and I shoot you in the shoulder and you die, and I say, well, I wasn't trying to murder you, I shot you in the shoulder, I'm still guilty of murder, right? If I do something that with reckless indifference towards your life and you die, that's murder. If these guys know, which they do, that these shots have a high and a real likelihood of injury or death, they cover it up and force people to get it. What is that? What is that? What has Anthony Fauci done? What are they doing to our soldiers? And, you know, their fear is what's going to happen because, you know, realistically, as the American people wake up, they're going to demand justice. And what's justice going to be? I mean, you know, everybody talks about Nuremberg 2.0. I don't know what else we could have. This is a global attack on humanity.
I agree. Let me add this. All the PolitiFaction people said it's a lie that maths don't work. Now it's proven it's a lie. They're the ones lying. They're all doubling down, defending, and trying to cover this up. But it's not just the Pentagon AI database or the other Pentagon database you just mentioned. I've looked at the documents. You're dead on. Obviously, you're the one that put them out and got it from whistleblowers. Great job. But it mirrors the numbers out of Europe and the UK and New Zealand and Australia and Canada. They're getting similar 1,000% neurological increases, 300, 400, 500% heart attack, myocarditis, 3,000% increases in blood clots. And that's just who they're catching. 64% in multiple studies getting with D-dimer tests that they're having blood clots after. I mean, this is real. I've got four or five articles of people collapsing with heart attacks after the shots in sports just today. We can't even cover it all.
Oh, well, and Alex, I'm going to tell you, one of the real secrets that nobody's talking about is that we've been talking about whistleblower data for months. We've had lots of whistleblowers, now we've gotten the military side, and this data is incredible. It's next level. These guys are heroes. I mean, absolute heroes. By the way, I want to make a public statement. If you screw with my whistleblowers, if you corrupt monsters screw with my whistleblowers, I will see you in court. I don't care who you are or what you're doing. You screw with them, I got their back, and I got a whole team of attorneys now that have this data. We have backup on backup on backup. It doesn't matter what you do, we will protect these whistleblowers. These are American heroes. So, you know, you're right, though. Everywhere we look, there's more and more evidence, and everything we see. How many times did these guys have to keep lying and lying and lying before people wake up? And, you know, here's the thing. You look at my guys, Peter McCullough, Robert Malone, Cole, all these guys. These guys are heroes. They're out there fighting. But look what's happened. Their reputation's attacked. They're maligned in the media. They're not, you know, they're not only not making money, they're losing money. You know, none of us are making money on this.
Except we're all being targeted and attacked. Dr. Peter McCullough, by the way, is going to be in studio tomorrow to respond to the lies about his Joe Rogan interview by the corporate media and go point by point tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central. He'll be with us for 2 hours at the start of the show if he can get here with all the ice and the rest of it. But he says he's still coming down. But let's talk about that. Again, we know they're trying to suppress the truth about this and trying to suppress the illnesses and the problems, but it's coming out everywhere. So as you said, they don't have an exit plan. You're a smart guy. You predicted a lot of this, you know, what would unfold. What do you see happening next then?
Well, you know, right now, my next step is to ask our elected officials where they're going to stand. And, you know, they're either going to stand with the corrupt bureaucrats, the billionaire crowd, and the drug company and special interests, or they're going to stand with the American people in this election year. And, you know, I want to know that answer. Once we see that answer, it'll be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised to see these people thrown under the bus because that's where they belong. Now, the question is, how many people can we make accountable and how far can we get with justice? My intent is to bring as many bad guys down as I can. But we will be pushing for accountability and justice in this. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing they can do. We've got this data in so many places and with so many people. They can't stop this. And Alex, here's me telling your viewers, guys, if you're not trying to get more people to watch Alex's show, you're not doing your job. Everybody says, what can I do to help? Well, you can share this information and get it out there. Okay. You know, for me, you can pray. You can go to Rens-Law. We've got to give, send, go. I need some help there, please. You know, but you can share Alex Jones's show. Alex has been talking about this. But for people like Alex, but for the alternative media that tells the truth, none of this is out there. Alex, you're a damn hero in this country for being willing to have the courage to speak out. So, you know, one of the next steps is to make sure every American in this country hears this, is aware of it, and it's time to wake up. You know, Klaus Schwab wants the Great Reset. I agree. We need a Great Reset. But the Great Reset we need is one that takes us back to freedom, takes us back to our Constitution, wakes people up, makes them realize that they have to stand for our nation, stand for our country, and standing for freedom means fighting for freedom. You don't roll over when someone tells you you got to wear a mask. You don't roll over when they lock you in your house for 14 days. And you sure as hell don't roll over when they say we're going to inject an experimental jab into your children so you can watch them die over the next 20 years.
Beautifully said. Do five more minutes with us, my friend, ahead of this NBA player who's fighting all this, joining us as well. But Tom Renz is our guest, R-E-N-Z-Law, RenzLaw.com. He's out there, probably the most prominent lawyer, getting stuff done, filing suits, getting in front of legislatures, getting in front of committees, just kicking ass. He's all over the place and like Superman. And it's true. I mean, he's saying, I'm a hero. Look, we're all just trying to survive here. We're smart enough to know we're under attack, scientific covert attack, a new type of warfare by the corporations that got mad at Trump and populism, and they launched all this to try to take over. And I think, like most tyrants in history that overcalculate and overplay their hand, this is going to bring them down. But I cannot express enough what he just said. This is a damn war. Yeah, we got lots of videos that get a million views every day. That ain't enough, folks. We need to reach everybody. So I'm not mad at you. I'm saying we're in this together. If we're going to get out of this, you got to get aggressive with the Bandot video videos. And they try to block you sharing that link, so it's futurenews.news. And you got to get it out on your email list, your text message by hand. Take clips of it. Put it up everywhere else. This is an information war. Their whole attack is about blocking us. About blocking you. They will not succeed if the signal gets out. And out of all the amazing signals, InfoWars is right there at the tip of the spear because we have this giant audience of you. Freedom is powered by you. You're the reason InfoWars is so powerful. We'll be right back. Stay with us. If you're going to have a covert kill system, you want to be able to give a bunch of people saltwater placebo and then others the toxic injection. That's what I've seen. I've talked to military people at the grocery store and gas stations and basically all the military this afternoon we've had in here. We had a Green Beret doctor in here a few weeks ago. He said, my God, he goes, I've had hundreds of shots over the years. He's 50-something years old, was in the military in the 80s. And he says, I have brain fog now. I've never been this sick after they gave me the two shots. And he goes, I probably can't. Well, you saw him on air. He sat right here and talked about it. He was here with his cool dog because he's working in the task force down on the border for the governor. And so there he was. And then we have the Greg Reese report showing out of these databases, I want to see what our gangs of this, that certain areas are being targeted with the more toxic lots of this. Tom Renz, you're right at the tip of the spear on this. What do you think is going on here?
Well, it's an experiment, in my opinion. Okay, so I've got a lot of evidence on this, and so I don't mind talking about it. You know, I don't like talking about it unless I can show it. But the evidence I've seen is very, very strong, in my opinion, that different lots are different formulations. Now, whether they're different ingredients or not, I don't know for sure, because naturally everything is super secret. But we're seeing massive increases in side effects in some lots versus others. And the analysis that's been done on this, I got a few really, really brilliant scientists that have analyzed the heck out of this. And it really strongly indicates that this is what we all know it is, one giant experiment. Now, I'm going to tell you, Alex, so some of this stuff, you know, we're not arguing in court, but I've seen enough evidence that I'm comfortable talking about it. What we see is the money in this is not going towards the COVID shots. So right now, if they could, I think they would let the COVID shots go away and then just put the money in the gene therapy, which they're already moving into the flu shots, right? The money is in the gene therapy. That's where the investment money is. That's where the global investment is. That's where all that's going. So gene therapy, if you look historically, there's been a lot of talk about this. They've been trying to get it handled and get it to become mainstream for a long time, but no one would take it. So now with this whole COVID nonsense, they've forced people to take these gene therapies. By the way, I've got Pfizer and Moderna documents openly admitting that these are gene therapies, so I don't need to get into that. It's from Pfizer. It's from Moderna. They admit it. It's not disputable, right? So what do you do when you put out something new that's untested? Well, you got to test it. So they've got, to me, it looks like they've got different formulations that are going to different places. And I think that they're literally testing out to try and figure out how to best create and develop this gene therapy stuff. Now, we've got evidence that I would say is credible of a lot of other things, but it gets out there far enough that I don't feel comfortable talking about it publicly.
Sure, sure. And I spend all day researching this as well, but you're a lawyer. You've got the documents. They, as you said before they ever did this, admitted they were going to do gene therapy. And now they say, oh, make flu shots and make other shots mandatory gene therapy. And they even said in 2019, right before this was launched on C-SPAN with Fauci, we need a new virus out of China to blow up the old system and make people accept gene therapy. So you're right. This is all about their revolution of gene therapy.
Yeah. They've been very clear about that. I mean, this is really, the money is pushing the gene therapy, and you got to understand that the money and the power is pushing genetic therapy. Now, why is that so important? That I can't prove. But what I can tell you is that's where it's going. That's what they're pushing for. And, you know, they've already tried to integrate this into the flu shot. So if you're getting the flu shot, and I think next year, I don't know if it's in this year or not, there'll be gene therapy in it. So, you know, they're going to try and quietly have the COVID vaccines. You know, maybe we get justice, maybe they don't. But what they're going to try and hold on to is the gene therapy. So just FYI, guys, we'll be suing over that, too. You know, we do know what they're doing. We're going to fight them every step of the way. That's why we need your support. So please do support us at rens-law.com and our give
some going. Sure, this is so big. Join me again tomorrow or on the Sunday show. I want to do a full hour on this. Tom Renz, thank you so much. Incredible information. And he's totally right. Thank you, sir. It is a total genetic corporate takeover. In their own words, they admit all this. And thank God he's out there fighting. Stay with us.
Next, we've got a couple of clips of Dr. Peter McCullough talking about, it's about freedom, health freedom, about what you can put in your body. And then he's going to come out with this, the heart injuries that are occurring, a couple of small clips. And then we're going to go to about a 17-minute highlights of the Ron Johnson and the Peter McCullough joint moderated panel discussion that occurred last week. So here we go with a couple of short clips from Peter McCullough.
You know, what I see is the first wave was the respiratory illness, which caused great fear and the medical community and the public responding to it. But the vaccine rollout, the worldwide indiscriminate vaccine rollout, has really galvanized the world on freedom. Now, it's not freedom like one country and its borders with another country. It's medical freedom. It's the personal freedom to decide what goes into one's own body. And we saw that on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, the Defeat the Mandates American Homecoming March, and then about 35,000 marched from the Washington Monument to the Lincoln Memorial. And T.J. Sears, who's Austin's own comedian, was the moderator. I gave the lead-off medical presentation, and we had doctors, scientists, nurses, lawyers, public health officials, really a spirited presentation by Austin's Del Bigtree of the That was fantastic, and I tell you, everyone was listening to every word of Bobby Kennedy. That was the backdrop for January 23rd, and then we moved right into the historic U.S. Senate panel led by Republican Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. I co-moderated the panel, and the title of the panel was A Second Opinion on COVID-19, and boy, it couldn't have any better title.
The next small clip, short clip, talks is Dr. Peter McCullough talking about the damage that is done into this this young age group. And boy, I'll tell you what, this should never be taken by any young people. They don't need to take this vaccine whatsoever unless they just don't need, they should not take it. From that's my own opinion. But here we go with what Dr. Peter McCullough says about the injuries occurring in a certain young category.
There's heart injury occurring in children below age 12. We previously didn't think this was possible. When we looked at myocarditis before COVID-19 vaccination, you almost never saw it before puberty. Almost, it basically just didn't happen. A paper by Arolia and colleagues from Finland demonstrated that, you know, the explosion in myocarditis is very rare, but if it happens, it happens after puberty. Here with the COVID-19 vaccines, it looked like it's going to happen in younger children. And then in the Hasse paper, remember, the self-reported data came in from VSafe, Alex, and reported there systemic reactions were reported in 34% of the children on shot one, 40% on shot two, and then a negative health impact on the children, 10% of those at shot one and 15% in shot two. And that's by Hasse in MMWR. That was just out recently. This does not look good. This is CDC data. And I can tell you, since children at this age have a negligible symptomatic presentation for COVID-19, and it's likely the majority are now COVID recovered, to actually sustain this type of damage and injury is simply unacceptable. Therapeutics overall have not been promoted. Twitter feed today, Senator Rand Paul says we have to be focused on therapeutics. That's what Ron Johnson has said all along. Do you know that Ron Johnson invited dozens and dozens of public health officials and others to attend the Second Opinion and learn from expert doctors who are publishing and those who are treating COVID-19 patients? No one showed up.
This is a 17-minute clip from that, from highlights of the panel discussion held by Ron Johnson and Dr. Peter McCullough. So here we go, and then we're going to finish it out. Okay, thank you for listening. Here we go next.
Apparently one of the whistleblowers is brave enough to come forward and give a name, or I would not have allowed you to come.
Yes, Senator. So we've got three whistleblowers who have given me permission at this point to share their name. Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Teresa Long, D-O-M-P-H. Dr. Samuel Sigloff, and Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Peter Chambers, DO and flight surgeon. All three have given me this data. I have declarations from all three. This data is under penalty. This is under penalty of perjury. We intend to submit this to the courts. We have substantial data showing that we saw, for example, miscarriages increased by 300% over the five-year average, almost. We saw almost 300% increase in cancer over the five-year average. Cancer is not being talked about except for by Dr. Ryan Cole. Thank you, doctor. We saw, this one's amazing, neurological. So neurological issues which would affect our pilots. Over 1,000% increase. 1,000.
Ten times. That's 10 times rate, and obviously that
83,000 per year. I'm sorry, 82,000 per year to 863,000 in 1 year. Our soldiers are being experimented on, injured, and sometimes possibly killed. Dr. Corey, thank you so much for your stance on the corruption. That's precisely what it is. They know this. And Senator, when these doctors are attacked, not necessarily the people in this room, I'm not giving names, they call me. I'm the one dealing with the medical boards. I'm the one watching the witch hunts. I'm the one fighting them off, and I'm the one telling them where to go. I'm going to keep doing that. Senator, we also have, let me give you this last thing, and then I'll shut up and get out of your way. 9/28/2021. Project Salus weekly report. Project Salus is a Defense Department initiative where they report and they take all this data that doesn't exist supposedly, and they give it to the CDC. They're watching these vaccines. On that date and around that date, I have numerous instances where Fauci and that entire crew were saying it's a crisis of unvaxxed. It's 99% unvaxxed in the hospital. In Project Salus, in the weekly report, the DOD document says specifically 71% of new cases are in the fully vaxxed and 60% of hospitalizations are in the fully vaxxed. This is corruption at the highest level. We need investigations. The Secretary of Defense needs investigated. The CDC needs investigated. And thank you so much, Senator, for having the courage to stand against these special interests.
So again, the Department of Defense. Thank you. The Department of Defense, the Biden administration is on notice. They must preserve these records, and this must be investigated. Okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Senator. Thank you.
So the increase in cancer is something I've been hearing about for months. And quite honestly, I've told people that are reporting this to me, I don't think the public's quite ready for that yet, okay? But you've just raised this issue. Apparently, Dr. Cole, you're aware of this. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because this is This is frightening.
Thank you, Senator. And this is a challenge in terms of aggregating data. I saw a signal early on of certain viral conditions. Dr. Parks pointed out mechanisms. I noticed certain viruses increasing. Well, these same T cells, immune cells, keep cancers in check. So I do about 40,000 biopsies a year. I'm a busy pathologist, and I thought, gosh, I'm seeing more of this type of cancer and this type of cancer and this type of cancer. And so I've tried to talk to other laboratories and aggregate a bigger data set, which obviously these federal data sets are a very easy way to see that signal. Obviously, I've been canceled, I've been ridiculed, I've been maligned, et cetera, for saying so, but I've been observing it. And I can't deny observation. That's how science happens, initially through observation. Then we confirm through hypothesis, experiment, and data. So, yes, we're seeing it. And now when we travel with these groups and summits, I have oncologists. I have radiation oncologists. I am seeing an uptick in cancers. I'm seeing these odd, stable cancers take off like wildfires after the vaccines. It is happening. We need federal funding. The NIH isn't looking at this. Getting a grant to look at anything related to the vaccines is next to impossible because they're perfect, safe, and effective. So it's happening. My data is anecdotal. My observational group is significant, but we need additional studies to happen. And thank you to Tom for digging into what's actually happening.
I think we have some additional nurses. And by the way, that's where I was getting the safety signal from. Nurses from across the country are contacting me about the vaccine mandates, that type of things, talking, you know, telling me why they're not going to get the vaccine because they're seeing this, these patients that their cancers are in remission that, are, you know, all of a sudden, boom, you know, they're blossoming again. Dr. Urso, quickly.
Yeah, I've got a question I want Dr. Cole to address. Ryan, you know that the experimental data on the genome in the P53 in BRCA. Can you explain that to everyone?
Yeah, real quick. So we have genes in our body. We have mechanisms in our body. We have bad cells in our body every day. Our body says, oh, I can kill that, knock it off, you know, shakes hands with every cell. You're gone, you're gone, you're a bad cell. There are genes, there are suppressor genes, P53. It's the guardian of our genome. There's another breast cancer gene, BRCA gene. We know that the spike protein binds to the receptors for these genes and can activate them. That is a mechanism of the spike protein. So putting this spike protein in the human body via a gene shot that is completely investigational, these are not approved. And to mandate something that's investigational that can bind to cancer promoting
I'd like to just clarify and take that a step forward. What P53 does is it checks your DNA before it replicates, and it makes sure that it's fixed. So P53 is the one tumor suppressor gene that is most tied to cancer because once there's a mutation in P53, the mutation rate just skyrockets.
Correct.
And you're going to develop enough mutations that that cancer is going to have a much more likelihood of becoming metastatic.
Absolutely.
So P53 is the essential tumor suppressor. Now, do we know for sure that the spike protein is binding it and inactivating it so that it cannot make sure that your DNA is replicated effectively and without any errors? No, but that's why we should have tested these for cancer-causing potential before we started giving them to our kids.
There are some confirmatory and
clinical
studies.
Yeah, I'll put it into the record.
Yes.
Paper by Jiang in May, where it goes into this data. SARS-CoV spike impairs DNA damage repair.
Thank you.
One of the key points is we still don't officially know what the structure of these so-called vaccines are. I mean, we do have some information now that's been published by a Nobel laureate group from Stanford, looking at the sequence from discards and comparing it with the PANs. And there are what are called untranslated regions. Has anyone ever heard of this word, untranslated region? Anyone?
Yes.
A few people. Okay, everyone has been told that the RNA in there is just RNA that's making this spike protein that's going to make your nice little cute little vaccine, just like those mumps and polio vaccines that we've all had as children. No, wrong. There are untranslated regions, and I'm going to read you what they are. There are three human gene sequences in those untranslated regions. One of them, we think, I'm working with a group of molecular biologists and genomics, one of them, we think, is targeting the mitochondria. I'll tell you what that gene sequence is. It is a, where is it? The 3'
untranslated region comprises two sequence elements derived from the amino terminal enhanced of split ASMRNA and the mitochondrial encoded 12S ribosomal RNA to confirm RNA stability and high total protein expression. That's what the WHO document says. Now, if that's true, that could mean, we don't know, we need to find out, that could mean that the expression of the spike protein is actually being expressed partly, at least, in mitochondrial ribosomal.
This is so wrong.
Mitochondrial ribosomal.
No. Yeah.
That means it could be a kamikaze expression.
Dr. Wiseman, listen. You're certainly letting us know you're qualified, but I don't know what you're talking about.
What I'm talking about, Senator, is in every single drug package insert, you see a chemical structure. Do you not? There is a chemical structure. We need to know the exact chemical structure, the exact sequence of the RNAs and the DNAs in these vaccines. Right. Okay? They are being withheld from us. FDA needs to show us what those structures are. It needs to explain what the pseudouridine is doing. They need to explain this paper from Sahin, who is the founder of BioNTech in 2014, they talk about non-natural nucleosides. What are those non-natural nucleosides doing? He talks about the toxicity of them, the pseudouridine. None of that is being discussed.
So I want to clarify a little bit. I agree with you. Okay. We need a lot more information.
I want to clarify because people have said these are mRNA vaccines. mRNA only always goes to protein, and we can't do anything. First, we know that people have reverse transcriptase. Yes, it can make DNA. Yes, it can go back into the DNA. But there's something else about RNA. RNA can make little hairpin loops. RNA can regulate your DNA. So when you put an mRNA vaccine or RNA into your body, it can get in, and it can be alternately spliced, can bind to your DNA, and it can regulate it. For positive or for negative, it can change your gene expression, and there's stuff in there that can do that either intentionally or unintentionally, and we don't know. It's completely unethical because we are just beginning to understand RNA silencing, where these RNA molecules regulate our DNA. So that makes it completely unethical to use this technology.
We have to get on to, there are great unknowns with respect to the vaccines, their mechanism of action, and disease categories like cancer. But there is a disease category upon which the FDA, the CDC, and all stakeholders agree that the vaccines cause, and that's myocarditis or heart inflammation. Now, I will tell you, as a cardiologist, it is crystal clear that these vaccines cause myocarditis. Dr. Parks has already quoted the paper by Avolio that has shown, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the vaccines cause myocarditis. The FDA indicates for Pfizer and Moderna that they cause myocarditis. We now have over 200 papers in the peer-reviewed literature on myocarditis, sadly showing the rates of myocarditis are far in excess of what the CDC ever imagined. We've identified that boys have a predilection for this far more than girls. The maximum age group, the peak age group is age 18 to 24, so it's actually the college age. The risk extends up to age 50. And I can tell you that in this age group, it is clear the risks of the vaccines are far greater than the risks of COVID-19, the respiratory illness. Two papers, one by Tracy Hogue at UC Davis, one by Ron Kostoff, that these papers have been presented at the FDA meetings. They have not been challenged as analyses. One, and there are now fatal cases of myocarditis published by Washington University in St. Louis, by Verma, and by Choi from South Korea. More fatal cases accrue. There is the father of a boy here in this room who's died of myocarditis. One death is too many. One. We have 21,000 cases of myocarditis and climbing in the United States that the CDC has verified. One was too many. Under any circumstances, should a young person ever receive one of these vaccines, let alone ever be pressured to receive a vaccine, let alone ever be mandated to take a vaccine. This is crystal clear. The FDA agrees. There can be no controversy over this. There can be no normalizing of this to say that it's mild or it's transitory.
Well, talk about that, because that's what I say, it's mild. Is myocarditis mild?
I'm telling you as a specialist, myocarditis is not mild. There are papers by Schauer and by Truong at University of Utah at Salt Lake. When they do MRI on these individuals with suspected myocarditis, 100% are having heart damage. 100%. We have a paper by Tishopi and colleagues looking at the outcome of individuals prior to COVID in this age group with myocarditis. 13% will have permanent heart injury. 32% never actually get up to normal. They don't get back to normal. We are seeing unprecedented numbers of athletes dying on the field in Europe. Unprecedented. Of these cardiac arrests, half of them don't come back. We now have a report out of the heart group in the UK where actuarial mortality for those under age 15, mortality in the UK is higher than expected.
Dr. Malone.
Just real quick, going back, Mr. Rounds.
I wonder if Dr. Malone could follow up on that.
Just real quick, because we're talking about myocarditis. What concerns me so much about the whistleblower report there is this is the only vaccine injury that the CDC, FDA are acknowledging. And you combine that with the fact that there's at least suspicions that the Defense Department is doctoring with the data in their database affecting myocarditis. I mean, I'm sorry, that gets my suspicion antenna.
And the recommendations and the mandates are ignoring the FDA warnings.
I would contend, Senator, that there's not just a suspicion. In August, when the report was run on acute myocarditis in the DOD website, there were 1,239 cases, and now when you run it, it's down to 307. In January of 2022, there were 176 cases, and magically, they are now down to 17. There is a word for that. It's not suspicious. We have in the military the single best data set that exists because we have baselines in there. And acute disease across all categories in the preceding years, 5 years leading up to the vaccination year was 1.7 million. They introduced and mandated a COVID-19 vaccine for our U.S. military when they had only lost 12 service members total to the disease. And in the 10 months of 2021 after that, it jumped from 1.7 million all diseases to darn near 22 million. That was a 20 million increase. We need to not be calling this suspicious. With all due respect, we need to be asking hard questions of the DOD, and I will close by saying they are charged, at least in part, with protecting the sanctity and welfare of the brave men and women who are defending this country. And right now, these numbers indicate something is drastically wrong, and I know of only one reason: that databases roll math backwards.
So who are you? Identify yourself.
So sorry. My name is Lee Dundas. I'm a human rights attorney that's working with Tom Rentz on the whistleblower issue in the military. I would ask that Congress listen to these whistleblowers, put their testimony on record. These are brave men and women of very high rank in the U.S. military, because not just do we, Congress, in this building need to hear about it, the world needs to hear about what is going on.
I got a short report about the Canadian trucker, protest up in Ottawa, Canada. Here we go next. Coming from Fox. Here we go next.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is condemning the drivers who are currently blocking traffic to and from the U.S. in protest of the mandate. He's also refusing to meet with them, blaming their rhetoric. He says he prefers Black Lives Matter. Watch.
I have attended protests and rallies in the past when I agreed with the goals, when I supported the people expressing their concerns and their issues. Black Lives Matter is an excellent example of that. But I have also chosen to not go anywhere near protests that have expressed hateful rhetoric, violence towards fellow citizens.
Jillian, there was certainly that same level of critique from other movements like Black Lives Matter, where arguably outliers called for violence and the like. But all of a sudden, the morality clause here prevents a prime minister from meeting with an economic backbone aspect of his country to even hear what those truckers have to say, Jillian.
The clip you just played, Emily, was interesting too, because his job as the prime minister is not just to meet with constituent groups with whom he agrees. His job is, in fact, to hear input from all sides, all industrial bases, particularly here, knowing that during COVID, truckers have really become frontline workers. They've been risking their health and lives since day one of the pandemic. According to the Canadian Broadcasting Company, the reality of these protests is that they have remained nonviolent.
And Kaylee, the Washington Post tweeted earlier, the movement shares an affinity with Trumpist toxic authoritarianist politics. Your thoughts?
Another gem from the far-left Washington Post. This is the age-old elites taking on the people. This is the left once again showing utter disdain for average, everyday, hardworking people that keep the country going. I mean, we're used to it here in America. We're used to Biden talking about Neanderthal thinking and Hillary Clinton, deplorable, irredeemable, and CNN saying, you know, if you support Trump, you're a rube who can't locate a country on a map, or Peter Strzok, smelly Walmart shopper. We're used to this attitude. And it's so unfortunate because the people you're looking at the screen, yes, you point out there are outliers, Emily. Sure, there are in any movement. But the people you're looking at on the screen are the people who kept the world going during COVID-19. They were essential workers. They kept driving their trucks, hardworking, good people. When Justin Trudeau was locked down, wherever he was locked down, along with the rest of the political class, these people kept working. And they do not deserve that kind of attitude from a prime minister who wants to just wholesale endorse Black Lives Matter, who we know Hawk Newsom here in New York threatened violence and bloodshed if Eric Adams reassembled the crime unit. And ironically, one last point, there's a big scandal with Black Lives Matter. Apparently, they transferred millions of dollars to a charity in Toronto run by the wife of one of their co-founders to buy the communist mansion there for $6.3 million, the equivalent of that. So he wants to wholesale endorse this movement. Maybe you should read a little bit more about the movement he's wholesale endorsing.
Quick note, Kaylee, we don't know where the Prime Minister of Canada is. He was taken to a secret undisclosed location over the weekend by his security team after he pushed back against the truckers. He's not in Ottawa.
Well, hooray, hooray for the truckers. They're doing the right thing. They're really standing up against this health tyranny. So we want to thank them profusely. And we want to thank each and every one of you out there, and God bless each and every one of you for listening to this broadcast and these clips. We're going to put up at the top of our page, we have the complete panel discussion that Ron Johnson and Dr. Peter McCullough presided over, so you can go there for that. We'll put up the complete interviews also of different people, Tom Rentz and Alex and other clips that we played. We'll put up the full, the full interviews on that also. But anyway, we're trying to make a difference out here. This vaccine. Oh, also, remdesivir should be avoided at all costs. Don't, if you get a loved one in the hospital, and I'm not giving you medical, advice here. I'm just stating my own opinion from what I've heard and witnessed a lot of different doctors over the years, and doctors that and also nurses that actually worked in intensive care, and they've seen remdesivir be very negative towards the treatment of COVID patients. And it seems to operate in such a way to knock out the kidneys, the liver problems, and then the people proceed to the ventilator, and then after that, death. So I would be very, very reluctant, and I would question any doctor, your family doctor, or anyone else, about remdesivir and have them really look into that and uncover the real problems that are occurring with remdesivir. But I'm not giving out medical advice, but I'm telling people, go in, find out for yourself, do your research on remdesivir, and I think you'll find out that I'm giving you very, very cautious and good advice about not administering that to your loved ones. But thank you very much, and God bless each and every one of you. Good night.